Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 29, text number 3. Jnane karmani yoge cha.
Jnane karmani yoge cha.
Vartayam dandadharane.
Vartayam dandadharane.
Yavanato ninam tata.
Yavanato ninam tata.
Tavam steham chaturvidaha.
Tavam steham chaturvidaha.
Jnane.
Jnane.
In the process of knowledge.
In the process of knowledge.
Karmani.
Karmani.
In fruitive work.
In fruitive work.
Yoga.
Yoga.
In mystic yoga.
In mystic yoga.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Vartayam.
Vartayam.
In ordinary business.
In ordinary business.
Dandadharane.
Dandadharane.
In political rule. Yavan,
Yavan,
whatever,
whatever.
Arta,
accomplishment,
Ninam,
of men,
Tata, my dear Uddhava, Tavan,
that much,
Te,
to you,
Aham,
I.
Chatu vidaha,
fourfold,
i.e. the fourfold goals of human life, religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. Tantric knowledge, ritualistic work, mystic yoga, mundane business, and political rule. People seek to advance in religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. But because you are my devotee, whatever men can accomplish in these multifarious ways, you will very easily find within me. Translation, through analytic knowledge, ritualistic work,
mystic yoga,
mundane business,
and political rule,
people seek to advance in religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. But because you are my devotee,
whatever men can accomplish
in these multifarious ways,
you will very easily find
within me.
Purport,
Lord Krishna is the basis of all that exists. And one who takes exclusive shelter of the Lord never suffers any loss whatsoever for his intelligent decision to surrender to Krishna. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chachurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Tadati Svapadantikam Muktam Karoti Vachalam Pangundam Kayate Girim Yad kripa tamaham bandehi Sri Gurum dinatarinam. Lord Krishna is the basis of all that exists. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Which is pertinent to this verse because Krishna says, I am the source of everything, everything emanates from me. The wise who know this or understand this worship me with all of their hearts. What's another verse from the Bhagavad Gita that illustrates this point? Mata parataram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya sutre manigana eva. What's the last line? Yeah, I got it going the wrong way. Everything rests upon Krishna as if pearls, as like pearls are strung on a thread. You know, when you look at your neck beads, unless you've got a very ratty set of neck beads, you can't see the thread that keeps it together. So Krishna's like that. He's the source of everything. He's the the thread that keeps the whole of the creation intact, keeps it all working seamlessly, yet he's invisible. This is why it's sometimes, you know, surrender to God or surrender to Krishna is sometimes described as a leap of faith. Because most people have difficulty appreciating that, well, what to speak of God existing, they can't even understand their own existence. Huh? Can't even understand themselves. What to speak of understanding God, or more specifically understanding Krishna. What to speak of developing this kind of faith where one abandons everything and simply dedicates themselves to serving Krishna. If one doesn't have an understanding of one's spiritual identity and one's relationship with Krishna, then how can one give up everything to serve him? Not possible. And so consequently we find in this day and age basically people are interested in, and actually here it mentions religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation. In the modern age, dharma is not even considered. It's considered old-fashioned. So the most common focus is on sense gratification, right? Working hard for sense gratification. So basically, vartayam dandadharane. This is the focus of modern society or current society. Here, this verse starts off with jnane, which is the process of cultivating knowledge. The level of knowledge that most people operate at in this day and age is at the level of, what shall we say, Prana Maya. There's the five levels of consciousness that Prabhupada talks about in the Bhagavad Gita. Anamaya is basically I eat, therefore I am. It's a very low level of consciousness. Basically the consciousness of children or babies. Right? When a baby is just born, basically what does it do? Let's ask the mothers. What does a baby do? Cry. Yeah. And what do you do to stop it from crying? Feed it. That's right. Feed it. Then when it's fed, it's happy. Huh? And then it goes to sleep. But then it wakes up and starts crying. So then what do? You have to feed it. So this, and of course, you know, if we didn't feed you, how would you feel? You start crying too eventually. Try it. Try starving somebody and see how long they last. So we'll operate on this anamaya level. But more developed, and so it has an influence, more developed than the anamaya is pranamaya, which means, you know, my actions, what I do is who I am. It's more advanced than anamaya, but not much, not very advanced. I act, therefore I am. And so and we see that most of society is on this level of consciousness. Pranamaya. You know, when we ask people, who are you? You know, what do you do? Oh, I'm an engineer, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm the other thing. I'm a Hare Krishna. Right? Very much. The consciousness is based on. And of course, in this day and age, the focus or the emphasis is on what do you do to make money? What do you do to make money? Or what do you do to become famous? Or what do you do to be influential and powerful? This is where the focus is put. And very often, you know, it's notoriety, but of the worst kind. You know, how outrageously behaved is this person, therefore they get attention. So it's behavior. What do you do? So this is pranamaya. But then above pranamaya is manamaya. In other words, this is more advanced and is somewhat similar to the there's a French philosopher, is it Descartes or Sartre? I think, therefore I am. Right? I think, therefore I am. And we see that in art, in drama, in dance, in what we call culture. Entertainment, intellectual pursuits, poetry. This is all on the level of manamaya, more sophisticated than pranamaya, because it's a subtle form of the prana working. Actually, it still is prana in one sense, still working, but on a more subtle level. Because more subtle than that is an understanding of one's spiritual identity, separate from these workings of the material energy. But there's a certain amount of piety, there's a certain amount of sukriti, piety required for a person to elevate themselves beyond the material realm, either subtle or gross, to the point of understanding one's spiritual identity. And most, if we look at the consciousness of most people in the world, their level of absorption is either anamaya, pranamaya, or manamaya. Very few are at the point of understanding, at least even theoretically, what to speak of practically, the existence of the soul, the existence of the self, the real self, as opposed to this transitory identification of the self. Because we see it. Dehinos minyata dehe komaram jovanam jaratata dehantara praktis. Diras tatra namuyati. We see the changes of the body. Prabhupada uses this argument. We see that we're changing bodies all the time. I was born, I had a child's body, then I grew up, I had a youth's body. From youth, I became middle age, from middle age I went to old age, now I'm dwindling and it's time for death. So in each of these stages I've got a new body, so why not understand that in the future when this body finishes, then there'll be another body. And that the basis of the existence of the body is the soul. This is the important element. Without the presence of the soul, what have you got? You've got a dead body. And when a child is stillborn, it doesn't matter, you know, all of the ingredients are there, all of the cells and bodily parts and ingredients are all present, but the vital ingredient that makes it all work is not there. So what's the most important part? The most important part is the real self that makes it, and that's the kuttastha, that's the steady part. Otherwise everything else is changing. The material creation is simply, there's one thing constant in the material world, and that is change. One thing that you can rely on, everything is going to change. So not many people can appreciate the presence of the soul, what to speak of the presence of God. So what to speak then of surrendering to Krishna and having the faith and the understanding that he will protect me. So these four items, chatur vidha, religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation, most people are focused on economic development. Religiosity is considered old fashioned. God's dead. God died in the 50s, or was it the 40s? And we pursue economic development for sense gratification, and you know, people's concept of liberation in this day and age is okay. The concept of liberation is, you know, what's what are some of the modern concepts of liberation? Drinking. I would have thought that was sense gratification. Sex. That's also sense gratification. Paying off a mortgage. Liberation. That's economic development, isn't it? Really, when you think about it. You know, I saw an article in the paper. There's on the corner of, is it Queen Street and Lonsdale? There's a building there, and it's got a big frontage, and they often have a large art installation there. And the installation at the moment has got a lounge chair. It's got a living room, a lounge chair, and in front of it it's got a computer and a box. And not many people recognise it, but that box and computer is the device that the Exit International, they call themselves Exit International, right? They were promoting for assisted suicide. This is when you become totally frustrated with life. In other words, you're facing death and you want to get out of it. This is the concept of liberation. This is what you do. You commit suicide. Is that right? When people talk about liberation, and this is the highest level of liberation that they can understand. Commit suicide and you'll finish everything, which is a very materialistic concept. Right? Again, it's on this level of pranamoy. I am what I do. And so if I can finish this body, then I'm finished. Right? Without a deep understanding, or without a more mature understanding or a more developed understanding, that actually we're not the body. So we're living in a very crippled society in one sense. Not the society for Krishna consciousness, obviously. But in a society where the basic understanding of human existence, or even the inquiry, is not there. Right? The Prabhupada would often make the point that the beginning of the Vedas is atato brahma jigyasa, means, you know, now you've got the human form of life, inquire about who you are. What is the purpose of existence? Who am I? What am I here for? And that inquiry doesn't arise, it should arise in the human being. That inquiry should arise in the human being, but it doesn't. And, you know, the Bhagavatam talks about, in the first canon of the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada talks about the human beings being just like the animals. The animals wake up in the morning and they start asking questions, but their questions is, you know, where can I find something to eat? What's in the fridge? Right? Basically. We think that food comes out of fridges and supermarkets. Where am I going to get a job so that I can get something to eat, so I can get some money? The inquiry, in other words, the inquiry of the human beings is not that much different to the inquiry of the animals. What's that verse? Ahara Nidra Bayum Maitunum Cha. Is that right? Eating, sleeping, defending and mating, basically. Eating, sleeping, mating and defending. That's what people's consciousness is absorbed in. And of course that's basically the consciousness of the animals. So the human beings are described as dvipada pashu. The human beings are described as two-legged animals because they don't inquire about anything more than the same inquiries that the animals pursue. Where can I get something to eat? Where can I sleep? How can I defend myself? And where can I get some sense gratification? So the real purpose of our existence is not to inquire about these things. Of course, we can't ignore these things. But the purpose of inquiry is, the real purpose of inquiry is to, once we've satisfied those things, is to understand our spiritual identity. That's the main goal. And in understanding our identity, understanding our relationship with Krishna. But very, very difficult for a person to fully surrender themselves to Krishna, even those who understand theoretically and even practically that they're not the body, that they're spiritual by nature, have difficulty in fully surrendering to Krishna and coming to the understanding that if I worship Krishna, then everything will be provided for me. Right? That's a very elevated platform to be on. But of course Krishna says here, whatever man can accomplish by material activities, sense gratification, economic development, sense gratification, even religiosity, whatever one might hope to achieve, and it's mentioned here, jnani, karmani, yogi, cha, by the cultivation of knowledge, by the following of ritualistic activities, by the performance of yoga, or just by the course of ordinary activities, or danda dharane, which means political manoeuvring, all achievements that can be acquired by any material endeavour are automatically achieved for the devotee who surrenders and serves Krishna. Aham sadasya prabhava. Because everything comes from Krishna. And Krishna looks after his devotees. So why aren't people lining up to become devotees? and be looked after by Krishna? Well, there are a number of reasons. One of the reasons is that when Krishna looks after you, sometimes he does strange things, or which to most people are strange things. You know, in the Bhagavatam it mentions, when Krishna is particularly inclined towards his devotee, then he smashes him. So people think, whoa, I don't want to get mixed up with Krishna. Because when Krishna shows his special affection to the devotees, then he takes everything away. He turns him into an utterly useless, helpless, desolate, materially impoverished person. So much so that Everybody wants to abandon him. That sounds like punishment. How can that be affection? Huh? But of course, for those who Krishna shows this special favour, then Krishna gives himself. And the devotee is so absorbed in rendering service to Krishna and is so satisfied by that service that he's not interested, he or she is not interested in anything that the material world can offer. That's the depth of the connection between, or the nature of the connection between Krishna and the devotee, is that when the devotee becomes so absorbed in serving Krishna, becomes attached to Krishna. When Lord Nrisimhadev asked Prahlad Maharaj to offer him a benediction, and Prahlad Maharaj said, I'm not interested in anything for myself. I'm deriving such pleasure and satisfaction from meditating on your lotus feet that for myself I want nothing, but I'm simply thinking about ways in which I can give other people this opportunity. He wasn't even thinking about himself, he's thinking about others. So, you know, it's mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that the pleasure derived from material pleasures, or even the pleasure derived from material endeavours, is like a drop compared to the ocean of pleasure that can be derived from the Brahman realization, right, realizing what, but the pleasure that's derived from Brahmananda means existence in the material world, Brahmananda, which means the bliss of realizing one's spiritual position, the bliss of Brahmananda is like a drop compared to the bliss that's experienced by the devotee who's absorbed in the ocean of, or the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of devotional service. But it's not so easy. Krishna meant Bahunam Jammanam Mante Jnanadam Nanta Pajate Vasudeva Savamiti Sa Mahatma Sudula Baha. It's rare that a person comes to the point of understanding that they're not the body, that they're spiritual by nature. Theoretically, at least, we can come to that understanding, but then to put it into practice. And even Prabhupada says, even we may know theoretically the practice of devotional service. You know, we read the Nectar of Devotion, we read the Bhagavad Gita, we try to put it into practice. So we know it theoretically, but we're, you know, actually doing it, that's something else. What to speak of coming to the realization or coming to the understanding of knowing Krishna. That's very elevated. Great mercy if one can come to that point. So, you know, Krishna is also sometimes inclined towards the devotees, even if they're not successful in devotional practice. Then they get to take birth again in a family of devotees or in a wealthy family. So Krishna shows his mercy. But Prabhupada mentions that actually that kind of mercy shown by Krishna is not as great, or is not as kind, if you like, as that mercy that Krishna shows to the devotees where he takes away all of his material facilities and material possessions. Because in that state, Krishna then forces the devotee to take shelter in him. That's considered to be greater mercy. But then in that situation, Krishna gives himself to the devotee. And then in giving himself to Krishna, and in Krishna giving himself to the devotee, then automatically all of the other facilities that might be required for their service are provided. In other words, if we surrender to Krishna, then we'll not be materially inconvenienced. It may, for a period, there may be some temporary inconvenience. But if we look at the lives of the acharyas, and if we look at the lives of the mahatmas or the Mahajans, we see, even though they may have undergone some difficulty, here's an example of somebody who underwent some difficulty to serve Krishna. So many examples. Huh? Phala Maharaj's father boiled him in oil, threw him into the elephant's pit of snakes, threw him off a mountain, you know. The guy who got whipped in all the marketplaces, as Haridas Thakur. Yes, Haridas Thakur is a good example. What about Draupadi? Kunti, yeah. But Draupadi is an example I was thinking of. She wasn't fully surrendering. But then when she let go and called out, "Hey Govinda," then Krishna says, "I feel indebted to Draupadi because she called my name." Because it's the quality of the calling for Krishna. That's why for the devotees it is recommended that one cultivate this quality of dependence upon Krishna, full dependence upon Krishna. And why wealth, beauty, fame, knowledge, these things are sometimes even impediments for making progress in devotional service. Because when we have a materially comfortable situation, then the tendency is to be relaxed and not depend on Krishna, because our material facility is fine. When the material facility is taken away, then we realize, I have nothing. I have nothing other than Krishna to depend on. Which is why the sannyasi is given a level of respect in society, because they deliberately keep themselves in a situation where they're fully dependent upon Krishna. What did Lord Chaitanya say? Nādhanam nājanam nāsundarim kavitam vajagadisha kame. You know, no wealth, no followers, no beautiful women. Let me be detached from those things. Because it actually can be an obstacle. And why they preach, put themselves out to give others Krishna consciousness. Because a comfortable material life means suicide for spiritual life, basically. But of course, for those devotees who do surrender to Krishna, especially in the difficult circumstances, then Krishna provides them with the facility. We see that with Srila Prabhupada. He went to America with 40 rupees. And as I've said many times, you know, how many of you who come from India would have come to Australia with 40 rupees to start a career? Anybody here came to Australia with just 40 rupees? Huh? No. Yeah, well, me too. But you had your mum and your dad and a whole bunch of other things. So Prabhupada came with practically nothing. And because of his, you know, because he gave everything to Krishna, then Krishna gave everything to him. It appears, and Prabhupada said that, you know, when Prabhupada had those dreams where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was calling him to take sannyas, and Prabhupada says, I was mortally afraid, scared, and resisting. That's what Prabhupada said. You know, this. But then later he said, I gave up my family, and now I have. You know, and I was, he said, I was afraid to do that. But now Prabhupada, now Krishna has given me a much bigger family with sons and daughters who would sacrifice everything for me. Huh? So we see that when a devotee fully surrenders to Krishna, then Krishna, in order to facilitate that, may create some difficulties for them. But Krishna looks after those devotees such that whatever facility they might acquire through religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation, it's automatically provided for the devotee. Automatically he gets these things. So many examples. So therefore, this purport is, Lord Krishna is the basis of all that exists, and one who takes exclusive shelter of the Lord never suffers any loss whatsoever for his intelligent decision to surrender to Krishna. Might look like it in the beginning. Right? Lose your hair. Oh. Any comments or questions? Rhythm? You're just scratching your head, right? Didn't look like it to me. That's right.
And all the rest of it, he doesn't mind that. Although he gets it automatically anyway, he doesn't care.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. Anubhuti. By practice, by going out on Sankirtan. Right? My greatest fear, one of my greatest fears was when I first met the devotees, I thought, if I get mixed up with these guys, they're going to want me to go out on the street and chant Hare Krishna. Right? I was thinking earlier, when I was 15, 16, I had this desire that I could just walk down the street and talk to anybody that I met. You know, be liked by everybody, basically. Right? And of course, even and in my immaturity, well, not that I'm mature now, but anyway, at least then, when I was less mature than I am now, I was, you know, I guess everybody is at that age, insecure, right? And not able to approach people with confidence. And later, when I joined the temple, and you know, in my enthusiasm for devotional service, in those days I used to do the cleaning. My first services at the temple were washing the pots, cleaning the prasadam hall, mopping up and all of that sort of thing, serving out prasadam. Actually, when I first came to the temple, I remember we used to sit down and take prasadam, and I used to think, wow, I wonder when the devotees will give me the opportunity to serve out. Oh, that was a big step up for me. Of course, and just to do some service. So when I was a young devotee, then the first services I did was, you know, cleaning up. But then I used to notice the Sankirtan devotees, and then I was thinking, yeah, one day I want to be a Sankirtan devotee. And then eventually, you know, I was getting sick of cleaning the prasadam hall every day. And originally, cleaning the prasadam hall used to take me 3/4 of an hour. And it wasn't up here, it was in the prasadam hall was the theatre. That's where we used to have prasadam. So then I wanted to go out on Sankirtan. But actually I was scared of it because I used to think, well, how am I going to stop people and actually talk to them? And in fact that was the difficulty. The difficulty was actually being able to stop people and get them to give you a donation for it. In those days we used to do books, but people would see you with a wig on because in those days we used to wear wigs, and people would see you and they had already identified the Hare Krishna devotees selling books and they were sick of it. So, you know, they'd either swear at you, spit on you, or if they saw you, and you could see it, somebody would see you from 20 metres away and then they just walk over on the other side of the road just to avoid you. So anyway, as a result of, and eventually we stopped doing book distribution. Not that we didn't distribute books, but rather than distribute the books by selling them, we used to give them away. And then in order to do that, we would go out and sell various items of paraphernalia. But the result of doing that was that I learned how to pretty much approach anybody. You know what I mean? And develop some confidence. You know, there were some days where you'd be locked in a car and you couldn't get out. You'd have a big breakfast of khichdi and porridge, and then by the time you got to where you're supposed to do sankirtan, you'd be asleep. That's even if you were driving the car. And also, but simply some days, because it was difficult, it was just too hard. I don't know, I don't want to face anybody, it's too hard. Huh? But then on other days you go out and everybody is super friendly and you ask them to give a donation and they just... And Lord Chaitanya actually encourages us to approach anybody. Don't consider their material position, but just approach everybody. So sankirtan is and book distribution especially is a great opportunity to develop faith in Krishna, that Krishna will look after me. Because one learns how to approach basically anybody, how to deal with any rejection, right? Nah, mate, not interested. Get a job. Do they still say that? No? Huh? Sometimes. I had doing book distribution, I had people just walk up to me and just abuse me, swear at me. I don't think it happens like that these days, because the devotees in the 70s, the devotees were doing book distribution originally in their devotional clothes, and people would reciprocate, didn't mind that, especially in the early days. But then because we have such a small population in Australia, the people just got sick of having 3 copies of the Nectar of Devotion and 5 copies of the Krishna book. Or the fact that, they'd get to the corner of Flinders Street and Swanson Street and they'd meet a devotee who'd want to sell them a Nectar of Devotion. Then they'd walk down to Collins Street and Swanson Street and then they'd find another devotee who'd want to sell them a Nectar of Devotion. Then they'd get to Burke Street and Swanson Street and they'd find another devotee who wanted to sell them a Nectar of Devotion. I mean, what's wrong with these guys? Don't they ever give up? So then what the devotees did was they then changed from devotional clothes into plain clothes. Huh? And then when people met the devotees, they thought it was somebody new selling something new, but actually it was just the same guy in plain clothes but with a wig on. That was like, what's going on here? The Australian public generally doesn't like to be swindled, so they just took that as cheating. So they eventually, basically, they despised the devotees for some time. Turn as you can.
Now, philosophy talks a lot about depending upon Christianity and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
How would one do that and not be irresponsible?
Yeah.
We have our duties as well.
Yes.
They have their, set amount of duties and so on. So how to be or feel dependent upon Krishna but not become irresponsible? And how to be irresponsible but remain dependent upon Krishna?
Not be irresponsible. That's a good question. One has to develop a deep sense of responsibility and understand that devotional service, when we say be dependent upon Krishna and give everything up to Krishna, that doesn't mean that we immaturely or artificially renounce things. There's the story, I was reading this last night and I'm glad you brought it up because now I can tell this story. But it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam in the 10th canto that one shouldn't imitate advanced personalities immaturely, because if you do, then you'll destroy yourself. The example is given of Lord Shiva, who drank poison. If we try to imitate Lord Shiva drinking poison, we'd kill ourselves. So similarly also, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that we shouldn't artificially or prematurely renounce, right? Imitating greater personalities like Prahlad Maharaj or Haridas Thakur or, you know, whoever. Because we'll actually damage our spiritual lives, our spiritual standing. And so, Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says we should meditate on this verse, we should meditate and discuss this verse about premature renunciation or imitating great personalities. And Prabhupada makes a point, you know, that we are not, that there are two types of transcendentalists. There's a Goshtiyanandi and a Bhajanandi. Bhajanandi is a person who withdraws and simply performs their sadhana for their own liberation. And then he says there's the Goshtiyanandi. Goshtiyanandi who is a person who practices their spiritual life but also goes out of their way to preach to others, to liberate them as well. And he says that this Bhajanandi is a very, very elevated platform. Very, very elevated platform. And that the more realistic platform, or the more achievable platform for most of us, realistic and appropriate, is as a Goshtiyanandi, which means we practice our spiritual life but we also preach. Right. So we have our responsibilities, so we shouldn't neglect them. But along with those responsibilities, in order to put ourselves in Krishna's hands, do you know what I mean? Like, under Krishna's protection, we do our duty. Cook the breakfast, get the kids off to school, especially for the ladies, you know, who might find themselves in moribund activities and, you know, bound up by them, or even the men who have to go to work every day, and it's sort of like, how can this be surrendering to Krishna? I've got to go to work and serve the boss as opposed to serve Krishna, right? So that sort of appears to be like, oh, how is this renunciation? Or looking after the children, depending on Krishna, they think, oh, you know, I've got to go and do the washing or cook lunch again. And my husband never calls me and asks me how I am, and all he wants is dinner. Huh? Do you have that problem? I know a few people who have that problem. I know one person who has that problem. So how is that renunciation? Well, it's renunciation in that we do have our responsibilities, but we can put ourselves in Krishna's hands and declare our dependence on Krishna through the opportunity of performing Sankirtan. So when we perform Sankirtan, we put ourselves in, you know, out in the public eye, if you like. We're chanting Hare Krishna and, you know, we're declaring to the world, I'm a Hare Krishna and we want you. No, Krishna wants you. Right? Krishna wants you. Or doing book distribution. You know, so in other words, this Sankirtan is a unique opportunity wherein, okay, we do our duty, do our service, you know, basically, artha dharma, what is it, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, that's what it appears to be, but we add the special flavour of Sankirtan, which is the Yuga Dharma. Right? So Krishna Manam, Twisha Krishnam, Sangho, Pangasta, Parasadam, Jagyoy, Sankirtan, Prayayu, Jantihi, Samadhisa. Those intelligent people recognise in this day and age that Lord, that Krishna has appeared in the form of the Panchatattva to perform Sankirtan. And the Sankirtan is the Yuga Dharma or the Jagya. for the age. How's that sound? So yes, do your duty, but at the same time, add sankirtan. Then when you add sankirtan, you put yourself in Krishna's hands then, because you go out and you don't know what's going to happen. Is that right? You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know whether somebody's going to walk up to you and punch you in the face. That's always a possibility if you go out on sankirtan. No, I don't want to discourage anybody, but that's all right. That's always that can happen. I know, it's happened to me. More than once. Less so these days. There's always, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen, because, you know, there are asuras, there are demons who don't like Krishna. They don't even know why they don't like Krishna. They just don't like him. How's that sound? So, you know, doing our duty is surrender and is depending on Krishna, even though it appears to just be doing the same old thing again. And in fact, that's a test. That's a test of steadiness. You know, doing the regular, because there's, what is it? There's prescribed duties, there's capricious activities, and there's inaction. Then in prescribed duties, there's regular work, and then there's emergency work. Right? On occasion, sometimes, you know, emergency. So we have to understand that even just doing the prescribed duties, even though it appears to be fairly mundane, still done with that mood of yatkarosi yadashnasi yajajosi tadasiya. We do it for Krishna. That's still, and with some devotion, that's renunciation, that's giving everything to Krishna. Good question. I think we should finish here. Anybody have anything that they want to say that they can't? Yeah, alright. Okay. Kandara Simad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai.